For the sermon this afternoon, we continue to meditate on Isaiah chapter 9, especially today, verse 6. And you may have noticed in the handout, the yellow handout, there are a review of what we have covered so far in Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 6, and then also about a half page of thoughts for verse 6. To start, I reread just the first part of that verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We noted the last time we reflected on this passage, a week ago Wednesday, that the verses 4, 5, and 6 all begin with the word for. And then today, for to us a child is born. We have thought and seen closely how Isaiah is prophesying there's going to be a great light to scatter the spiritual darkness. There's going to be a great victory that God would give his people. And then he gives three fours in a row, each telling something about that. How is God going to do it? What is he going to do? And finally, that last four, beginning in verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. There is going to be, Isaiah prophesied, a baby who is going to be born, a baby boy, and he is the one who is going to scatter this darkness, this spiritual darkness over Naphtali and Zebulun. And this victory that God is going to give, that baby is going to give it. We remember at Isaiah's time that Isaiah saw the 10 northern tribes of Israel taken away in a brutal captivity by the Assyrian Empire. Tens of thousands of people had been deported and scattered throughout the empire. And so Isaiah is seeing this great gloom and darkness over the land. And this is a promise for Isaiah and for us. For unto us, Isaiah is including himself, and all for who believe and hope in this prophecy, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And that promise, this prophecy, reaches all the way back to Genesis 3:15. When God promised to Adam and Eve, speaking to the serpent, but Adam and Eve receiving the blessings of the promise. For there will be enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. And he will crush your head, and you will crush his heel. This baby to be born, promised even to Adam and Eve, is that promise is repeated and spoken of again here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This prophecy to Adam and Eve is going to be fulfilled. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. I want to read a short passage out of John chapter 19. You will recognize it. It is John chapter 18, and I have it in the notes, it's 33 through 38. Listen. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king? For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Jesus clearly said here and in other places that God's kingdom was coming, and in fact, he is the ruler of God's kingdom. But he also very clearly said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Yet Isaiah says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Well, Jesus' kingdom is over this world. Or you can also say, use a different preposition, Jesus' kingdom is under this world in that he holds up this whole world. He is in charge of all things. The government that we truly need, the governing that we truly need, is from Jesus. We can say it's over this world, or it's lifting up and sustaining this world one way or another. It's not the same of this world, but our world needs his kingdom. We continue further into the prophecy, and we have these names. When we think about it, these names of Jesus tell us what kind of kingdom he has, tell us what kind of king he is. Wonderful Counselor. Now, this actually in the Hebrew, this can be translated either way. You can do it Wonderful Counselor, or you can do Wonderful, comma, Counselor. That's the Old King James Version. And each way is okay, and you can translate it either way. But either way, it is a meaning that says, this is going to be an amazingly wise king. Wonderful Counselor, this wisdom that he is going to have, and this counsel. And did you hear what Jesus said to Pilate in what I just read from John 18? He said, again, I read from John 18, verse 37. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." This is what Isaiah said he would be like. This is the prophecy. This is the promise. This baby to be born is going to have this amazing wisdom, divine truth that all people need. That's the kind of kingdom and king he is going to be, wise and full of truth. The baby's name is going to be Mighty God. Now, that is an amazing thing for Isaiah to say, because we know that Isaiah was a faithful priest, a faithful Jew. He knew his Old Testament. He knew his Ten Commandments. He knew all the teachings of Moses. And he also knew the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." God and people are different, separate. He is creator. We are creatures. God's name is holy, and we lift him up. And to call a baby Mighty God is an amazing thing. And unless this is true, it's blasphemy. But it's true. Baby is going to be God is God. The baby is also called Everlasting Father. There's a number of places where Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." His oneness, his closeness to God the Father is so interlocked, so of one being, of the one God, that he would reveal the Father perfectly. He said in his prayer to God the Father, that night he was betrayed, and he was praying before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane after he gave the Lord's Supper. Included in his prayer in John 17, Jesus prayed, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." this oneness that he has with the Father is of his very character and nature. So he is equal with the Father. And the baby's name will also be called Prince of Peace. Do you remember what Jesus said after he had risen from the dead and he appeared to the disciples? Recorded in John chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad because they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Jesus is the source and the ruler of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And this peace in the Old Testament, and as the Jews use it in the New Testament, is this shalom, which is not just the absence of war or the absence of fighting, it is that, but it is a wholeness. It is a health, and it is a oneness. So when Jesus says to the disciples, "Peace be with you," they have peace with God. They have peace with one another. This is the name of Jesus that Isaiah prophesies, of this baby to be born. He will be the Prince of Peace. Truly, Christmas peace and peace throughout the whole year that we need is from this baby. He's the source. He's the ruler of this peace, this oneness with God, and peace with each other. We remember that this baby would grow up and teach truth. He would heal. He would die. He would rise. This is what he came for. He came to be this king, this ruler, to give this peace. And through that, this great light, the scattering of spiritual darkness, and this great victory God would give. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of Mary. And we ask you to, again, make these teachings and these promises that you gave through Isaiah true and powerful in our lives. We ask you that Jesus would be our Prince of Peace, would bring this forgiveness deep in our lives. All these things he has accomplished, the great light, the great forgiveness, the great victory over sin, we ask that you also give into our lives. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing this hymn, Silent Night. The offering can be brought forwards during the last verse.